Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello, and welcome to the Chance Encounters podcast. We've been running board game cafes around the UK for over 6 years now. Ooh. From hen do's to family do's, from first dates to breakups, we've seen it all and recommended a board game for every situation. Mm. But now, we're looking for a fresh challenge. So each week, we'll invite a guest onto the podcast who'll come armed with an abstract and absurd scenario, and it's up to us to figure out what that situation calls for and recommend a game that will totally satisfy their hungry, hungry hippos. Oh. Finally. Yeah, that's right.
We don't match the interest of the guest, by the way.
How'd you know that was my favorite? That's actually the board game I was going to ask for.
Oh, no. So whichever game recommendation our guest loves the most will score a point, and at the end of the series, whoever has the most points will be re-crowned, potentially, ooh, the Titan of board games. So my name is Richard Scarsbrook. I'm one of the directors at Chance Encounters. I'm one of the founders, and I follow all the rules in the IKEA instruction manual. That's right, all of them.
Oh, God. Who doesn't?
Well, I'm Ben, and I'm a massive nerd who works at the Yuxcast, and I love board games, and I will just build that thing even if it says it needs two people, because that other person's going to slow me down. I will find a way to build it with one person.
I have gone my whole time so far without needing an extra person, and I've got many IKEA furniture.
So what you're saying is you don't follow the rules.
Oh my God. I realise, yes.
And also, you're a liar.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't follow the rules?
To be fair, the rules aren't explicitly written. It's just pictures. I think it's like up to interpretation.
I should
have probably tied that in. Hello, my name's Russell. I work at Chance Encounters. I have many hats there, but I am also an all-round nerd, like a bit of everything. But apparently, I interpret the rules to IKEA furniture as I see fit.
As suggestions.
Yeah, I see them more as a guideline. I'm kind of really ruining my reputation as a board game person here with all these things that I'm saying on the podcast. I do confess this is a bit bad, but yeah. So that's me.
And our guest for this week is none other than Boba.
It's me. Do I say about me?
You can say all the things about you.
I stream on Twitch, and my favorite animal is a hippo, and I'm always hungry for board games.
Perfect. So thank you so much for, I know it was a big ask, but I really appreciate you coming all the way from America just for this podcast.
Exclusive content.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for, how are you finding England so far?
Everyone said it was going to be hot. Mm-hmm. When I got here, I put a jacket on as soon as I got off the airplane. Yep. Now it's kind of warming up again, so I believe it a little bit more, but I like it.
You finally decided to doff the jacket.
Yes, yeah. I've taken it off. Today I didn't wear one and I wasn't chilly.
Wow. Who told you that England was going to be hot?
Oh, like everyone.
Well, yeah, because you remember like a couple of weeks ago, it was hot for us. Mm. I was hot, but not compared to like
degrees.
Florida hot.
Yeah. Yeah, like why promise something that you can't possibly guarantee?
I was so astonished because I was like, I'm ready, you know, finally I'm going to be there and I'm not going to be always wearing a jacket. And it's like, you know, when you come out of that like tube, the airplane tube, and I'm in the tube, and I'm like, why is it cold in here? That means it's cold outside. And it was.
Yeah, we just lied to you to get you here. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We promised the weather. We did specifically order it to be sunny. I guess finally today, the day of the recording, it's come through. We've delivered.
Finally.
Exactly. Mini heat wave, yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, <Yeah. laughs> typical English. Yeah. Straight to the weather talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've come armed with this abstract and absurd scenario then, Boba. What is it?
Thinking about this for like a week, and the first one that I thought of was about a bathtub because I like to take baths. But mm-hmm. I've been like really obsessed with survival shows. Okay. So I went through this phase, which was a recent phase, where I've watched about like 10 seasons of Survivor because I used to watch it as a kid.
I love that show, by the way.
I do too. And it's so got good. Like a cult following, which yeah. I didn't realize. And then recently I also watched Yellow Jackets. If you're aware of that one, it's like a soccer team girls group. They are in a plane and it crashes in the wilderness.
Oh.
And it goes between past and present day. And then I also have watched this other one recently called The Wilds, which is kind of similar. And then I also started Lost at the same time.
Oh my God.
So I think there's this weird fixation going on.
You've got a plane crash binge going on right now.
I do. And then I got on the plane and there was this light that kept going off and beeping. And I was like, I've done this to myself. And I'm prepared. So I would like a board game that would not only help me survive in the wild, maybe mm-hmm. it has like tools, fire starting mm-hmm. kit or something, I don't know, but something that would also make me able to establish a very good cult
mm-hmm.
and be kind of like the captain of the other people on the island.
Oh, the wow. others.
So when the a next ruler. Plane crashes... They fucked.
Oh, I'm well established as well, and I've got my like human heart in my hand and such.
Amazing.
So
you got your effigies yeah, all over the island.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ready to creep everyone out super hard.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be a game a smoke monster could play?
A smoke monster.
Oh wait, how far into Lost are you?
Oh,
I'm
no.
not very far.
Okay,
that's
don't
like
worry.
Season one, right?
The yeah, I feel monster. Like I feel like it was quite early on.
Yeah, well, I've got like all three shows running at once, so
oh, right.
Yeah,
is this three screens, like each one you're paying attention
oh, yeah.
to.
Oh yeah,
you gotta consume that content.
Mm, exactly. So I've got like yeah, I finished Yellow Jackets. I have mostly finished The Wilds.
How much? Cult and or cannibalism is there in Yellow Jackets?
Oh, without spoiling, because I haven't seen it.
Oh,
there's like an underlying about. Kind of tension thing going yeah. on. So
could
it's not
way
all the
point.
Way explained yet. But
when you said earlier on about like watching all those plane crash shows on and going on a plane, I remember once starting reading a book that I just downloaded on a Kindle on a plane. And it started out with a plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
It was Under the Dome, you know that?
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I remember
so
Under the Dome.
If you read the book, the thing starts with the plane crash. And I got to that point and hadn't even taken off yet because it's quite early on in the book. And I started getting to that. But I was like, am I cursing myself now? Or have I already
put this
reached?
Away.
Well, yeah.
The thing is, I wasn't sure. I thought I'd already read the part about the plane crash because it came out of nowhere. Mm. I was like, well... I mean, it's not going to... I mean, if I've already cursed myself, I may as well just get as far into the book as I can before I go yeah. down in flames. And I must say, there was no plane crash. So I think, you know, this curse idea is obviously not, you know, not real. But I understand yeah. it's unnerving. But...
I mean, I'm guessing with that book, you probably, like, looked at it and you went, okay, this is 3% of the way through. So I'm assuming that they're going to survive.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it was very early on. They did not survive. But yeah, so it was like very tragic. I was like, okay, you know, this is a real bad time to be reading a book just before I'm about to take off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that they like yeah. won't play a film that has a plane crash in it on the movies on the plane. Like, that's yeah. like their policy.
That oh, makes really? Sense.
Yeah, because you don't want to freak people out, right? Like, do you remember in like Fight Club, the like plane depressurizes, everything goes like flying out the window. It's like pretty graphic. It's probably not what you want to be watching when you're on a plane. So they didn't like body pat you at security and go, it's got plane crash in it, mate. You can't take this on the plane.
Well, no,
just like, throw it in the bin.
Probably because it was on a Kindle and you couldn't see what was on it. Whereas,
maybe they were just expecting you to do your audible recording. You'll just read it to the rest of the plane.
Yeah.
And then they're going down in flames. Please, sir, can you keep it down? This is... Sorry, we banned these words.
Yeah, like, no, they like it was weird, but yeah, I understand that policy 100% because I wouldn't choose to watch a plane crash film when I'm about to, you know, go on a plane. That's madness. But you know, when it sneaks out on you like that. That was the worst thing, I think, is because it was so unexpected.
Yeah, that's not,
you know, the concept,
not in the blurb, right?
Yeah, you know, it's a book. It's a story about a sudden, mysterious, invisible dome that encroaches
a city. It's a
rip-off
of the Simpsons movie. You've seen that, The Simpsons?
Basically. I don't know which one. Did that come first?
No, I'm joking.
No, because I generally...
It's a Stephen King novel, right? Like, no, I think it did come out after the Simpsons movie, actually.
Well, this is
my God,
this
Stephen King, you hack!
Yeah,
he's been stealing from them all along, and we just didn't realize.
Just a Simpsons fanfic, really.
Yeah, well, you know, it does go along with it. Well, it's the Simpsons did it. You know, this the whole thing about the Simpsons episode predicting the future.
Yeah.
Now, just continuation of that thing that they do. Mm-hmm. Then they predict, like, you know, Trump becoming president and all these other weird things.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're just like, what's the wackiest things that we can get? Okay.
Turns out the future is awful.
Yeah. And so in this future where Boba is crashing down, hurtling down, you want a board game that has all of this cool stuff.
Yeah.
All of you. Okay. Do you know of any board games that come with a survival kit actually locked in? Is there anything that's, or is that, would that be giving the game away?
There's an edition of Pandemic, which was an anniversary edition, and it looks like a medikit.
Oh, that's true.
But there is nothing in there that will help you survive. It's just a complete misleading looking box. I have a question though for you. Mm-hmm. If is the game something you'll be having on the plane and it has to survive the plane crash, or is it just a game you'll find there?
I think
in a mysterious bunker.
Oh, it could. Yeah, it could be, or a Jumanji style. It watches up on the beach. Ooh. But maybe maybe it's like, you know, what's happened in most of their shows is, you know, the luggage washes up on the beach.
Right,
maybe it's packed into someone's luggage that's also on the plane.
That makes sense.
Okay.
It'd be amazing if it then had a name on and the person wasn't even on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Be like, this is Rebecca. And you'd be like, there was no Rebecca on here.
And everything in the luggage is clearly from the 1920s.
Yes.
Ooh. That would be cool.
We're writing our own movie.
That's a good movie.
I think that's how they wrote Lost. They just came up with that on the fly. We won't worry about how this ties into the end until get to season 6.
Oh yeah, you have
really
to warn, right?
Into a Lost hole.
Doesn't really explain itself.
My exposure to Lost was the Yogscast playing the Lost Adventure Map on Minecraft years ago. And I was like, wow, that sounds like a really wacky show. And I started watching it. I was like, man, there's a big monster in the jungle. That's kind of weird. That's about as far as I've gotten.
Oh man!
So did we get? Is it? It's in the luggage that's washing up.
Yeah, I think that would be. I think that would be fun.
Yeah,
I like that.
Okay, cool.
There's no like part. You said past and present because of the Yellow Jackets thing. There's that the time thing has no bearing on this specific scenario. You are just talking about the plane crash and when it lands, right?
Yeah, and something that you just find where it's like, oh, conveniently, like maybe there's a magnifying glass in the game or something, and you can start a fire with it. So it's just like coincidentally really helpful, maybe not purposefully really helpful, or unless it is.
Okay. Interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
How many people are you going to be having to play this with? How many survivors on the plane crash?
Do I get to pick how many people survive?
This is your scenario. You can do what you want.
Maybe like a 10 people kind of game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
10 people. I'm being generous.
Toll.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're not all going to finish like the board game, right? Like,
yeah.
Over the course of the board game, somebody's, well, got to have a heart being pulled out.
Yeah, something.
I was imagining that being like years later when the cult really develops.
Yeah.
Well,
like, the board game is maybe the seed that it all comes from.
Do you have any games that you, do you play many board games at all?
I've played like a few. I've done a few D&D games, and then I've done like I'll go to Duncan's house, and Duncan will be like, "Play this board game," and he'll take out the Monsters of Tokyo or something.
King
we played
Tokyo.
King of Tokyo, and then we played the similar one to that too.
King of New York.
Yeah, and then we played one where you throw burritos at each other.
Throw burrito.
Yeah, that's good.
Ooh, I like this game. This is a fun one.
Sorry, you had all of the words in those. I was just
you're
using them, rearranging
together.
Them.
Yeah. It's like fill in the missing word of the board game title.
And then my favorite board game is Candyland, because I'm in love with the ice cream princess, and she was like my day one, you know?
Okay. That makes sense.
So,
how do you feel about the gameplay of that, though? Because I feel that
It doesn't age well.
No.
I tried to play it again recently. Like I was like, move,
I think it's even worse. Is it not just like you draw a card and it tells you what color space to go to next, right?
Yeah. And then I think you might get like stuck in a fudge place or something, but it's just, oh, it's so basic. It's like, go to the red square. And I'm like, okay, what about like events and stuff? Mm. That could be someone's future one, just rewriting Candyland to be better.
I genuinely believe people have done that.
Really?
Like, people have attempted to engineer it into a more interesting game, but using just what they have. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I didn't even know about how basic the gameplay was, because it's not an it's not a British game. It's very much American. I guess it's called Sweetland here.
It needed to be simple for us.
Yeah.
But we have plenty of our own simple, stupid games too.
We do. Lots of like classic board games, which are the equivalent of roller moves and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Clue or Cluedo has like a little bit more of a kind of deduction that you go around. Yeah, there's some rolling of dice, but in general, like,
I will say, without the rolling and rolling the dice aspect of that game, that is a solid deduction game.
Yeah, I would, like, actually, if a group of people wanted to play Cluedo and were willing to just say move to any room you want instead of rolling the dice, I would play that game.
Yeah.
Which I could not say about most board games that I played when I was a kid.
Yeah,
like most of them do not hold up.
Well, the board game that came out on my table, which always surprises me, was Escape from Colditz, which, depending on how far Boba goes with this, may be quite an appropriate one of, let's get out of this cult. Let's call it a prison. Let's get out of here. How do we, you know, I've got my little, my string, I've got my scissors. Let's see if I can get over and through the fence.
Ooh, it's teaching you survival
as
well.
Exactly. Oh no, I should have.
Yeah, you should have literally held that.
it was quite an interesting game, but I always found that surprising that it wasn't just your basic.
I've not actually played it.
No, I've never played it. It's one of those classics that most people have played, but I've never
had like a 50-year anniversary edition or X number of year anniversary edition recently. I haven't gone and played that. I just have fond memories of playing it.
We do have it in Chance Encounters Bristol as well. Yeah, we have. I think it might even be the newer one as well.
Yeah.
Was that like a good place reference? You talking your basic.
Yeah, basic.
Yeah. Oh no, it might not be. No. Okay.
Just colloquial terms, I think. I'm one of the kids. That's how they call it, right? Down with the kids.
Yeah, I think the kids who used to say you're basic are not kids anymore.
Wow, that's probably true.
I think they've moved on.
Oh no. Well, we're the cutting edge.
So you've got sort of like a casual board game experience. What of the games you have played, like, what has been your favorite thing about the games? What do you look for in a game? What game is what makes you go, yeah, I like that?
I really like I guess spontaneous kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like D&D because I like to just be really weird and just like do things that are just really not out of character but in line with the character, that are just wacky and like just doing things kind of, you know, imaginative, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I like a lot of imagination and like character play too. And maybe with like, if I'm thinking of Candyland, maybe just cute ladies.
So in Candyland, do you put your own story to it? Are you bothered by the mechanics of the actual game? You're just like, you're having a great time, you're telling your own story, or are you like, does that gameplay, the kind of, as it were, basic or simple gameplay, does that bother you too much?
Oh yes, it was awful to try to replay again. Okay. But I was like, I'm doing this for my wife. I like bought the game and everything at Target in America, and I was like, cool, I'm gonna play Candyland. And then I started and I was like, this is so bad. So I like, you know, not basic. I don't like anything too advanced, because sometimes Lewis will be like, look at this game, and then there's 1,000 pieces to it, and he's like, I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna do this, and he's like, you can't do that.
It's against the rules.
Yeah, so maybe things
read
too.
IKEA instruction manual.
Exactly. I had to have the second person there. It was Lewis. He's yelling at me the whole time I'm trying to put the furniture together. But maybe things where you can like pick and choose the rules too, or you can play off of them, not really follow them, and still have fun with it.
So have an optional rule book, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just want to say, sign me up for when Boba has to interpret the IKEA rule book for some like thing. That I want to be there for that. That's just
next
sounds
stream.
Brilliant.
I got a new desk.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't. I'm kind of terrible with the IKEA things because I'll look at it and then I'll say, okay, well, there's four screws and these screws look the same too. So the last time that I built something, I built a desk, and this is the second time I've done this where I used the wrong screw. Oh. So I'm screwing it and I had soundproof headphones on and it made this like really satisfying noise. And I was like, wow, that sounds really nice. I turn the desk over and it's punctured through the board. Because the screws were the ones that were slightly too long, even though they looked like the other ones. And then, so my fix is I always cover it with stickers, but this time the gouge was so deep, I filled it with Play-Doh first.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Stickers
over. I love that this has happened so much. You have like a tried and tested method.
Yes. Yep. I've done it a few times.
Aren't going to be enough this time. Yep. Ah, Play-Doh.
Yep.
I just love the idea that you'll have a toolbox and it's just stickers and Play-Doh. Yes. Like, fantastic.
See,
got
this
a screwdriver in that?
Nope. Exactly.
Crayons that match the color of the wood
as
well.
Yeah, Sharpies as well, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've definitely done that a few times, too, where I'm like, this sock has a hole in it. Black permanent marker? No, it doesn't. So
what, on your skin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's quite extreme.
Going to be using these socks for a few days. Got to get that permanent marker.
Yeah, exactly. If it's in the same spot, no one will know.
Have you ever been tempted to just tattoo your whole feet black just so you don't
see? My way there. I've got one of my feet tattooed, and that way it just looks like a pattern. I don't have many hole socks anymore, though. I feel like that was a young
but had, they all have out. One hole.
I don't know why I never used to throw them out. I'd just be like, oh yeah, I'd like wear socks and go, oh, that's annoying, there's a hole in the heel.
Yeah,
and then I just throw it in the wash after I'd finished. It took me years to stop doing that, and then just be like the next week, oh, it's that hole sock again.
Yeah.
Oh well,
I guess I'll wear it and I'll throw it out again afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's back in the wash again. Yeah. Break the cycle, Ben.
Literally, it took me 30 years to break that cycle. Oh.
What's
wrong with me?
I still have some. I'm like, yeah, I'll just deal with that later. Yeah, right. I'm that person. My God.
But sometimes it's like a favorite piece of, and then you're just like, yeah, but those socks were once really nice. And then you're just like, I just want to relive my comfy sock day.
Yeah.
I don't want to let go. Like, you know, that sock's been with me almost my whole life.
The socks I wore to prom. I've got special memories. Maybe like going on that Play-Doh sticker desk thing, like just miscellaneous items that in the hands of a genius can be used for something.
You could cut that sock up and use it to cover up any holes in any like fabric. I don't know.
I'm just starting to
live
wonder,
on forever.
Like, if you've just got this ridiculous desk and be like, well, Boba really needs to do some laundry. Wow, why has she got so many socks on his desk?
Yeah.
Like, no, but they all just have special meaning to me.
Each has a story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got like so many things in my house that are just like haphazardly put together or things that I somehow haven't completely read the directions for. So I'm like, guess I'm doing it my own way now.
I feel like that when you end up on this island and you've got all this luggage coming in, there's going to be only a very limited number of socks. I don't think you're going to be throwing any of these socks away.
Those are important socks.
Are they going to be part of the cult?
Ooh. Oh my gosh, we can't have another sock connection.
The cult
connection.
Of the socks.
We can't. This is like, and you're peeling them off of, you know, you've got to have that scene in the show where it's like a dead person and you're like, well, yes, these are mine now. These are my socks.
Take them for everything they're worth and just take the socks off.
Yeah. This guy over here's got Play-Doh in his pockets. Oh. Score.
Right, I can finally fix that tree bench.
So nothing too heavy on rules, but nothing too like super light.
Not
like
just
Candyland.
Like move to the red square.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's out of there.
The cult of the red square is not going to happen. That's all I'm saying.
That'll be crushed immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would not even be classed as a what we call a roll and move game, which is what Snakes and Ladders is, because you don't even roll anything. You literally draw.
It's just determined from the time it literally in which you is. Put the deck down.
The deck is shuffled. That's like the winner is determined already.
Yeah. Ooh, that is a weird, like, that's a weird existentialist kind of thing. I didn't know that's what this podcast really was about. I don't need another crisis.
Wait, do I even affect the outcome here?
What is free will?
Oh, God.
Maybe I shuffle it once more.
Yeah. It's that thing, though, in board games where if you have to take a card from a deck.
Mm-hmm.
It usually says in turn order, but people sometimes will just take the card without waiting for somebody. And I don't know how you feel about that. I'm not a very superstitious person, though. I don't believe in like fate, but I also feel like in that game, I'm like, has my chance of winning been taken away from me because someone took the card that I was meant to get. Because they,
it's just as likely that they've messed up someone else's chance of winning and given you the win in that point.
Yeah, but that's not as exciting to think about it, is it?
That's true.
Right, someone, your destiny was stolen.
Yeah. I mean, if I win anyway.
All the rules, I'm sorry, but it has to be in turn order.
Right, because then there's no chance. It's like in, I don't want to bring up Deal or No Deal because that's another nonsense concept.
Whoa. Let's not be slagging off Deal or No Deal here.
I think something can be fun and nonsense at the same time.
It's nonsense.
as so many of my streams will attest to.
There's some interesting maths going on in Deal.
You're talking about the Monty.
There's some interesting maths. I think we know where we've derailed it so far.
Maybe that's the plane that crashes with the one with all the Deal or No Deal briefcases on it. Wow, $1 million. It's my lucky day.
If only I can spend it on something.
I've just been in a plane crash. It's my lucky day. Yeah, that's a good spin. That's a good spin on that.
Super optimistic.
Yeah. It's just like Hurley with the lottery numbers.
That show is good. I'm kind of envious of going to watch that the first time because there's some cool stuff that happened in that show. I don't know if I would hold up on a rewatch, but if you know what's coming, but anyway,
would it all make sense? I want to know whether this rewatch would actually make sense, because if you're saying that they don't explain anything until like the end, if you went back to the very beginning, do you see plot holes? Like a lot of the
there was plot holes in at the time. I think
yeah,
I
saw them at the time before, and then they got bigger at the end.
Yeah. Just we'll just cover it up with a big sticker. That plot hole
and Play-Doh.
You're gonna need a bigger sock over here, right?
But yeah, like in terms of fate and cards and stuff, like I often feel like that is just not, again, not superstitious, but I feel like that is
I'm not superstitious,
a little superstitious,
but I have a superstition.
But I do feel like that is one of the only things that I care about. But you were talking.
Didn't Russ say something earlier where he's like, "I'm just not one thing, but I'm actually that thing."
Yeah.
Oh, I often come to revelations about myself on this podcast. Yeah. Apparently, it's just what I do. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in particular that you want, you know, if you're going to have this cult, are you going to guide it in a particular way? Mm. Is there something that you want involved in this board game? Is there, you know, particular lessons you want them to learn early on?
Maybe just like, I don't know. Maybe there's like a religious aspect to it, but not like a, this is Jesus's Candyland where at the end is the church, but more maybe like, you know, you can establish a religion in the game and there's like, you know, structure to it, because I guess they kind of have that in like D&D and then like Civilization. Is that a board game? Kind of.
Yeah, Civilization is a board game.
Civilization board games. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's about like the spreading of religion too and establishing it. So maybe just like you've got like, maybe you're not even, I know my ideas just kind of change as they're happening, but like maybe you're just, you don't even have this idea of who says that I'm going to make a cult. Well, maybe a few
people. We don't talk about the cult here,
yeah, know. But maybe it's like this board game also just, it's like incognitiously influences you, so it's like part of the game is
subconsciously,
that's the one.
I'm here all day.
Influences you, so it's like, oh, here's all the steps to establish your religion in the game, and then you're unconsciously doing those things too. Out of the insanity of the island, maybe.
Is there anything else that you hate about board games? That like I would not
no
play.
Money
or no
yeah
no money
no money
oh
you don't want money to be
no,
a thing
no
I've been burned
money.
Too many times.
All right.
Please give us some examples. I'm curious.
Monopoly.
Yeah,
fair.
I'm always bankrupt in that.
But if you've got the Deal or No Deal suitcases, finally you'd be able to actually put it to use.
I am the Monopoly man.
You can play Monopoly with real money. Like
that's been done. They did it on like it, Mr. Beast.
Is it even real money at that point? If you've got the suitcases and nowhere to spend it and you're living on the island, it may as well be Monopoly money, right? Mm-hmm. Like it serves no purpose.
At some point, you'd finally realize that there has no, like, at least that money is like a promissory note for some form of gold. But you're going to be like, well, there's no gold here. And the only way it's going to, you know, make sense is if we get off the island.
I'm thinking like long term. Yeah. Are you going to get off the island, or are you resigned to being on this island for the rest of your life?
Make that island your home. Build a new society. A better society, right?
Actually, we
do it right this time.
with Boba at the head of the cult.
Yeah. This is like a, you know, Lara Croft's going to show up one day. She's going to be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Why are all these monster people running around? Yeah. They're just normal people that have grown plasticine hands to make sure they're really big.
We've wrapped ourselves in money and old socks.
I mean, money would probably be quite good if it's like the dollar for maybe camouflage, if you've got greenery on it as well. Oh, right?
Wow. They're not just in the money. Exactly. They are the money.
We are the money.
Okay. So we've got a cult that has been born out of necessity around you through a game that could be up to 10 people. Replayability, presumably. You'd want to be able to do this a couple of times. Really instill.
Every religious festival.
Yeah.
You break out the game.
Yeah. Ooh, every midsummer we've got break out the board game. It's time to, you know, re-indoctrinate ourselves.
Yeah. And whoever loses shall be sacrificed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, so a game that has to have a solo mode eventually then.
Ooh, true.
I mean, at some point you probably want to stop killing people in the cult unless you can slowly bring other people to the island.
Is it even a cult if there's only one left? It's not,
I think,
is
a new
it?
Plane crashes every couple of years.
Oh yeah,
it's got like that weird thing, dome.
Maybe the
Well, there's like a magnetic field around the island or something, and if a plane accidentally goes off course, it like loses all power and just smashes into the ground.
Just thinking, is the sacrifice to try and, you know, coax another plane to crash to bring more people to the island?
Yeah, we must appease the plane gods. With a sacrifice.
Well, this is like I'm just remembering like growing up in the 90s and being like, wow. The Bermuda Triangle, how come they haven't fixed that yet?
I know, right? I was literally thinking about it. I was like, does anybody know if that's like a real... I never caught up on it.
Oh, no, I don't know. It's the same thing. I was saying this the other day. I also thought quicksand would be a lot more prevalent.
Yeah.
Acid rain, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, what is the Bermuda Triangle? I think it's like near Florida, right? Maybe that's on my way back. I'm just cursing myself actively.
We're just veering around the triangle.
Yeah. I think as soon as like GPS was invented, the Bermuda Triangle became a lot less exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were just like, oh no, it's there. Where's the boat gone? Oh, well, it's there.
Yeah. I can see it. Yeah. We have cameras on it.
I am tracking it on my phone right now. It's right there.
It's like how there were a lot less UFO sightings as soon as everyone had a high quality video camera in their pocket at all times.
And ghosts. And ghosts as well.
Yep.
I'll be honest, technology has robbed the world of its magic.
I, for one, am happy about that. I'm happy about the fact that we can almost prove that you can't really prove that ghosts don't exist, but
I've
proved.
I loved it when maybe there was something weird going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time when there was just all the crop circles that were popping up over the UK?
Mm.
What happened? What was making those?
There's a guy with a plank. He admitted to it.
A plank? Just one man in a plank?
He's got some ropes and a plank, and he walks around, does this weird walk where he steps on the plank and lifts it up with the rope, and it was just a massive troll. He showed off how he did it.
To the bit.
Oh, yeah, it took him hours. He was like... And he just travelled around the country, just going, I'm going to make a big crop circle, here we go.
What a waste of wheat.
I mean, as the farmer, you'd be pretty pissed off at that point.
Yeah.
You'd be like, Well, all my wheat's dead now. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
But also, if you think about it, it was never going to be aliens, was it? Even as a child, I figured that one out.
But I wanted to believe.
Is it going to be an alien spaceship that has landed always in a field of wheat? Not just on grass or anything, always in a field of wheat? Or was it more likely somebody just doing it? Because it wasn't unfeasible that, you know, you could flatten something in a circle, was it?
Yeah, it always looked so odd because you'd assume that they would need a vehicle and the vehicle would leave like a track going into the field.
That's why
it's so baffling, because it was like, there's no evidence of anyone like driving away from this.
Yeah.
And surely it can't be done. No one's insane enough to spend 48 hours planking around in this circle.
I've met enough people. I know that there are people who would do that.
That's true. If you have a public facing job, you know that there's some crazies out there.
The plankus.
So what are your views on a cult around the wheat flattening situation?
A cult around it?
Would you want that involved on your island?
I don't know if we have wheat on my island.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm thinking, if you're thinking Lost/Yellow Jackets, I imagine it's like more of a jungly kind of island, right?
Yeah, jungly, foresty.
And one very small wheat, so you can make your little crop circles.
Yeah, we'll just grow it ourselves. Yeah. You're on crop circle duty this week, Janet. Sorry. I did it last week.
All right, well, we know who's going to be sacrificed this week.
Yeah.
Oh, my days. It's one of those situations where if you're just too good at something, you'll get asked it to go and do it. Yeah.
And then that's your job for life after
that. Exactly.
Yeah. I think also, too, if a really nice plank washed up on the beach, I don't know if crop circles would be a top priority. Maybe if you're writing help, but I don't know at that point if you want to be rescued.
Just like the idea of these planks arriving going, oh, you know what, we could make a raft. I know, let's do crop circles instead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, crop circles is not completely crazy. If you're going to try and write help or communicate, you could do it through your tiny wheat patch. Someone with their satellite will be able to see it.
How did that guy resist drawing a wiener in the wheat? Did he resist?
Asking the difficult questions there.
Because, like, if you gave
that's
me
like
an
the
opportunity,
first thing you do,
oh yes, exactly.
Yeah. Maybe that's the big reveal, as it were.
Yeah, oh. You're supposed to like layer them one over top of each other, and it's just a huge dick. Yeah.
Maybe
it's
that's what he was going
con.
For.
Yeah.
Maybe he just had no perspective. He was like, "I'm pretty sure this is going to look like a dick."
Oh no! Maybe every time he was going for that, and he started drawing it, and then it got caught. So he had to like scarp it before he could finish it.
Oh, wait, he always just did maybe, one ball. For
yeah, yeah, that's it. That's it. We solved it. There was just some guy who wanted to draw a big penis in the wheat field,
as one is wont to do.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Okay, let's recommend some board games.
Woo!
Woo! Okay, who would like to go? Did you want to go first?
I don't mind going first.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so in my head I was thinking, right, obviously the cult thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of games that touch on the occult and, you know, kind of ganging up and sacrifices and all that kind of stuff. But also you said 10 players. Now that's a kind of a niche thing to do because obviously a lot of games, board games that I mm-hmm. play, they only kind of tap out around like 5 players. So I think in more like a social deduction game. And the one that I thought of, which kind of ticks both of those boxes and mm-hmm. can accommodate a great range of number of players, is called Blood on the Clock Tower.
Okay.
So this is a game with,
good suggestion. So
this game is a social deduction game. Essentially, mm-hmm. it starts with somebody, the host of the game,
mm-hmm.
Playing a storyteller role and being murdered, and then everyone's trying to figure out who's murdered because there are demons amongst
okay.
you. So some of the people in the game are demons working against the rest of the players, and in this game in particular, everybody has a unique role. So that might mean they have a, like, be able to get some extra information, or they can take on, they have special abilities or whatever. But ultimately the game is an elimination game. So what happens is if you're on the good team, you're trying to get rid of all of the bad guys or bad people. And if you're the bad mm-hmm. people, you're trying to eliminate the good guys and get them to eliminate themselves as well. Because after discussing and maybe revealing some information that you know, eventually you're going to have to vote on who you want to kill, or if somebody gets chosen to be killed off, and then you all vote whether you want to kill them off. And if they're a good guy and you're the bad guy, you're like, yay. But so does that make sense? I don't know if I did a good job of explaining
cool.
that.
It's like Among Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like DDT or Werewolf or Mafia. It's like the latest version of that format.
I was going to say, what's good about this is, unlike a lot of the kind of popular hidden role games, we call mm-hmm. them, this one, you can continue contributing to the game even if you're eliminated. So let's say that your character is killed off. In other games, you might have to be silent and kind of watch out the rest of the game. You know, maybe the only perk of that is that you get to know who's the bad guys and who's the good guys, but that's mm-hmm. not as fun. In this game, you can still talk even if you're dead, and you can still have a vote after you're dead as well. So this kind of solves a lot of the problems that I have. mm-hmm. had with games that have a player elimination aspect where it's not fun after you die, especially if you're in the first round.
Yeah.
But it's also very much geared towards sort of like a cult vibe, mm-hmm. because the theme is based around demons, and you're kind of like, you've infiltrated this kind of town and you're essentially trying to eliminate all the good people and leave with all the bad people. So having said that, I will give the caveat that I've played this game 3 times,
mm-hmm.
and even though I am recommending it to you and it is a good solid game, I've not had the best experiences
okay.
with it. it was because there's a host in the game,
mm-hmm.
and their job is to kind of deal out, give out everybody's roles. And they've got this giant kind of big, thick book, which is essentially just a container where they've got all of the players' positions laid out and their roles.
Mm-hmm.
So they use this as a way to say, like, oh, that person's that character and that person's that character. And it's just a very fancy, like, box, essentially, where it looks like a book.
Okay.
And in my first game of playing it, they did the setup wrong. And the setup is not like super, super quick. It's about 5 minutes sometimes, because you have to get everyone to close their eyes and then tell certain people to open their eyes by maybe going over and tapping them on the shoulder and then mm-hmm. basically revealing their role to them. And if you've got a giant number of players, because this game goes from 5 to 20 players.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes if you're playing with a larger group, it takes a bit of time to give everybody their roles and also make sure they understand what their role is as well, because you give them a little
cheat sheet
that tells them what all the roles are. And in my first ever game, they messed that up. So it was a good 5 to 10 minutes of like, okay, we'll start the game. And then shortly afterwards, realizing, something's gone wrong here. So I had to start the whole thing again.
You do need like the person running it to be pretty familiar with how it works and to keep the ball rolling. Because if you let people just keep debating and chattering, it can really slow the game down. And you need that storyteller to keep the momentum up and push the game forward.
Yeah, but they basically act a bit like a DM, and they can add the flavor. And they're quite key to making sure that everybody has the right information, that they also have options to try and make it either easier, or they kind of dial bits back to ensure that the game is fun for everyone.
And obviously the other, to counter that, because you'll have unlimited time to play it, you've got plenty of time to read that rule book and make sure that you know exactly what all the rules are, so you don't fall into the same trap. But as well as that, it has the ability to, you know, it is a narrative game, essentially. You know, you are taking on the role of somebody, which will be different every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure as you will probably pick the role that you wanted to do every time you played the game, because, you know, if you're going to be the leader of the cult, you know, that should be the benefit of it.
You are.
But it has
Boba's the witch.
The narrative. but obviously has that narrative aspect as well. And you can really kind of go in hard on that and just play up your role. And I think that's kind of what's going to make it a lot more fun to play.
I think if you got to play lots of times with the same group, then you would, I feel like, some weird things would start emerging playing it over and over. So I like that pick. I know it has its like drawbacks slightly, but you've got nothing else to be doing on the island.
Quite
a lot of fun.
It's a good way to get a lot of people playing at once.
And each game would be different as well. I think the actual should also point out that it comes with multiple kind of scenarios. Settings and scenarios. You don't have to play the same thing every time, and you can mix and match the roles. So
And it would also stop you from killing too many people, because there's a minimum like 6 players that you need.
You need to keep people alive for it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You could just kill them in game instead.
You're next.
Get your kicks that way.
Whoever dies in the game has to be the planker for the next
planker,
6 months.
Ben, did you have a recommendation?
Yeah, so my game, it's, I don't even know if I'd describe it as a game. It's like a tabletop storytelling experience.
Okay.
So it's Rory's Story Cubes, which you're probably familiar with. They got really popular a few years back. Essentially, it's a set of dice, but every single side on every dice is different, and they've got little pictures on them. And essentially, the game boils down to you roll the dice, there's a random selection of different pictures, and you then have to tell a story based on what the pictures are.
Okay.
So, and you can interpret them in any way you like. So maybe there's like a plane and a mountain, and then like a sports ball, and you're like, okay, well, what does this mean? And you don't have to literally tell the story as the dice come up. You can definitely like interpret them in a way, and maybe, you know, the sports ball represents like a person who loves sport rather than an actual sport. And what I'm thinking is this game can, you could get really, if everyone got kind of obsessed in a cult kind of way with this game, you could be maybe like rolling those dice, telling the story, and then that is essentially the belief and the you're trying to like read the future,
or
you're trying to understand God's will through the dice.
A tarot.
You see what I mean? It's like a tarot thing. Yeah exactly. Yeah. You could definitely interpret it that way and have it like you know, casting the bones as a you know, a Viking shaman or something like that. Yeah. What do the story cubes demand of us?
Yeah. There is a plane on one of those cubes as well.
There is,
so when
exactly.
the plane comes up, you're like, today's the day the new members arrive.
Oh my gosh.
And I just love the idea of like a real sinister cult revolving around the will of the story cubes.
And they're supposed to be so innocent as well, right? Yeah. They're like four children in many cases. And you're just there being like, oh yes, the underpants. Oh, we're going to discover another ball, like, whatever, like, suitcase. It's going to arrive today. Give us more information. Oh, there'll be socks in there. Great, crazy.
Exactly. I think one of them is a sock. So every time the sock comes up, you know, that's a bold omen.
Wow.
You know, how do you interpret the sock?
Maybe the sky will give us rain today.
And I feel like if you do well enough on the story cubes, you could really get the whole group believing that, you know, you got magic powers.
Does one person only play with the story cubes? Like, is it only Boba that gets to interpret
them? I think everyone interprets the cubes. They all have a turn. They roll the cubes and they interpret them. And then maybe in a month's time, the group decides who foretold the future best.
Yeah.
And they become like the high priest of the story cubes.
Yeah.
Do you want to relinquish this this power of the story cubes, though?
Right? Wow.
That's a lot going on.
But yeah, it's a cooperative storytelling experience that's all down to imagination and maybe, you know, a little bit of sinister
I think they have some tie-ins as well.
They do like, I want to throw the Batman ones.
Exactly.
In.
Yeah.
That's the only one that watches. Yeah.
Amazing. So my board game recommendation is, I feel like it's almost on point in terms of like the situation scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I think the cult will kind of be in the background, the bubbling, the like sort of the feel that you get. But it is called Galapagos. And basically this is a game that's played between 3 and 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much what the scenario is, actually. It's you are on an island and you are trying to survive until you can gather enough planks for a raft.
Oh, wow.
Get yourself, yeet yourself off the island.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole gameplay is you're trying to survive, you're trying to collect water, you're going to try to eat, and generally there's only one way off this island, which is a raft. No idea how you're going to get picked up or whether or not you don't need enough water or food to survive for very long on this raft.
Yeah.
But apparently you win when you get on the raft. So there's this whole kind of like dynamic situation, and lots of people are on it. It's cold. You can be like, hey, we're in here, and be like, oh yes, but this fish is sacred. Oh, and so I think it's an interesting it fits the number of people that we're looking for. I don't know, maybe you want to escape with Rory's stories cubes into another fantasy world, but if you really want to be like, hey, we want to learn about how we survive on here. If you didn't have enough information from watching all of those videos, maybe you need to communicate in a different way. This is a survival-based board game, which is going to easily teach people what they need to know to get up to scratch.
Practicality.
Exactly. Ooh. So, that game is called Galapagos, and it's quite fun. We've played it together.
You'd be quite mean in it.
Yeah. I just ran off on my own, pretty much.
I can remember.
Is it co-op?
It's a semi-co-op.
You can win it together, but you can also win it.
Just jump on the raft and say, see you later, suckers.
At some point, I'm out of here.
I think you have to have enough food and water to survive. So, like these cards that you get. So you can, you know, you can look after yourself, but you do need to work together somewhat, because if you're not all contributing towards the raft, then, you know, nobody wins.
Yep.
But then if you've got some food and water, you need to also you know, keep some for yourself. So some people are like, oh, has any got any water? Okay. Yeah, have you got any water? I'm going to die otherwise. And you're looking at your hand with three water going, no. No, I've got no water. What do you mean?
Oh my gosh, I see.
It's quite mean.
So it's an interesting, like, slightly traitor dynamic in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of fun when we played it. So
yeah, I want to play that. Sounds
did
cool.
Did you have any other questions about those board games? Did you have anything that you wanted to clarify on?
No, I think I picked.
Oh no.
Oh, who are you picking?
So I like the practicality.
Yeah. Okay.
I like the practicality. I like the like demons and like what is it? Subterfuge or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the dice one I like the best.
Oh, wow.
Because story cubes, yeah, nice. I'm like, you know, big Greek mythology thing. Yeah. So the idea of like throwing the bones and reading the prophecy from them, I really like that a lot. Because
that's not what the game's meant to be used
for. Oh, no. And that's the other thing I like too, is because you've got like this suddenly this thing that would wash up that would become really important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not exactly the way that it's supposed to be played, but that's like kind of the mentality, I guess, if you're
how
stuck
it might
on an island.
Yeah. The madness of isolation.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the idea of one person being like a high priestess and being the one that's trusted to read the dice, and maybe they read them wrong one time and then they're like, time to go, we're drowning you now or something. So yeah, I really like that one a lot. But like that one I liked a lot. I don't know, I liked all of them a lot.
Good.
And but
it's okay.
That one is the
Ben
one that
wins.
Spoke to me the most.
Nice. Congratulations,
well done,
Ben.
Yeah.
One more point towards that title.
One day.
Board game.
One day.
When Ben wins, we know it's like the crown will just get slowly larger and larger. It'll be like, it's now just
a belt. It's a wrestling belt.
Exactly. Yeah, a wrestling
where
belt.
Came from? Did they start off as big crowns?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
And it sunk down.
Perfect.
Well, I like that though, because this is like, now I'm like, ooh, those are games that I want to play too.
Excellent. Well, that's kind of what we're hoping for, that we inspire you. And if you fancy playing those, then you can.
Our work here is done.
Exactly. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Boba. It's been an absolute pleasure. Where can people find you?
Thanks for having me. I'm on twitch.tv/Boba. That's BOBA. I'm on Twitter. I think it's Boba_witch. I don't know. Probably outside somewhere or something. Maybe a deserted island. Those are the places I am.
See someone wandering around looking lost, looking cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
Nice.
Say hi.
Well, thank you once again. And if you enjoyed what you saw here, please consider subscribing to the podcast.
Like and subscribe. Or if you leave a 5-star review.
Or just tell Ben how much you absolutely love him and everyone that's on this podcast.
Yeah. We love it. Just tell a friend, spread the word, and we'll keep doing it.
It'll be a good luck charm. Your plane will never crash. Like, comment, and subscribe. Or else.
Or else Boba will throw those dice. And
I will get on your plane.
We will not be responsible for any plane crashes.
the tiny print.
It may still happen.
Well, thank you so much. We'll leave it at that. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.